Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yeshayahu Perek Samech Aleph, the 61st Perek. In this Perek, Yeshayahu is talking. He's talking to the people not just of his generation, but the people of exile. For the thousands and thousands of years of exile, he's addressing them, and he's doing so to give them chizuk, to give them hope, and to help them survive this long, long exile. As Pasuk Aleph tells us, Ruach Hashem Elokim alai, the Spirit of Hashem was upon Yeshayahu, upon him. Ya'an Mashach Hashem oti, because Hashem has appointed him, Hashem has sent him as a messenger. Levaser Anavim Shlachani, to give news, to give good news to the poor people who am I sent to. Lechavosh Venishbore Lev, to bandage up their broken hearts. And the Radak over there points out how broken hearts aren't something that can be fixed in a real human way. This is something that requires God's help. Likra l'shvuyim dror, to call out to the captives. Dror means release from captivity, freedom. La'asurim pekach koach, to those who are bound to be unbound. This is a message of hope that Hashem is sending, that despite our exile, we should know that our exile is going to end. We should know that there should always be hope. I remember growing up, there was a woman in our community who was unwell for many years. And before she passed away, she made videos, set of videos for her young daughters for every single life stage that they would go through without her. It was a video for the first time that you going first day of high school and your first day of camp and things to remember on your wedding day and on the birth of your first child. All the milestones which she wouldn't be there for. She wanted to ensure that she would indeed be there for on some level with these videos that she left. This is really what, on some level, the Nevuahs of Yeshayahu are for. They're for us in exile, where Hashem says, I'm going to put down the phone and you're not going to hear me for thousands of years. There'll be no Nevuah. There'll be no communication, but don't worry because there is so much communication. Open up this wonderful book of love letters called the Tanakh and find my prophecies. Find them to soothe your battered souls, to bandage up and fix your broken heart and to keep you going through exile. Indeed, it is Yeshayahu's job, as we see in Perek Beis, Likrosh Nat Ratzon LaHashem, to proclaim that the year will come, which is a year of Ratzon, of desire towards Hashem. That's the year that we will be saved ultimately in the ultimate Geula. V'yom Nekam LeElokeinu, in a day of vindiction for Hashem. Nenachem Kol Avelim, to comfort all those who mourn. And now Barbanel points out that the word used to describe this day at the end of days is Dror. Dror, meaning freedom, is used specifically in the Chumash in the context of the Yovel year. The Yovel year in the 50th year, we also have Likroshnat Yovel. It's also a day, a year that's called out or proclaimed and announced at the beginning of that process. And maybe the connection between the Yovel year, this 50th year where everything goes back to its original owner and all the people go back to the original place, that's really a microcosm of what the end of days will be. A day that we go back to our land, and the land that's belonging to us. All those who are spread out all across the world will once again reunite with their Jewish identity. But ultimately, we have to remember that the real owner of the land is Hashem. And maybe what we're talking about here is the ultimate Yovel, where the land goes back to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Those who recall perhaps the first Rashi of the Torah is that the purpose of the whole of Book of Bereishis, tell us that it's Hashem's land and he decides who gets it. And even those who get it only have it temporarily, because there will come the ultimate Yovel, the ultimate 50th year of Dror, of true freedom, Likroshnat Ratzon. And that's not going to be a Shnat Yovel, it'll be a Shnat Ratzon, where everything goes back to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. And when that day comes, then Pasuk Gimel tells us, Lasum La'avle Tzion, Hashem will give the mourners of Tzion, us, the mourners of Tzion, he'll give us Latek lahem pe'er tachas efer, to give them beauty in place of ashes of mourning, which they have been wearing up until now. Shemen sason tachat evel, the oil of happiness in place of avelos, of mourning. Ma'ateh tehilat tachas ruach kaheh, garments of splendor in place of a spirit of darkness or weakness, like the Ibn Ezra translates it. V'kora lahem elei hatzedek, and they will be called, Am Yisrael will be called, the trees of righteousness. Mata Hashem lehitpa'er, planted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his own glory. And Pasuk Dalet once again reinforces the Nechama. Yeshayahu says, You're going to read these psukim in the darkest of places. You're going to read these through exiles, through crusades, through tragedies, through the Cossacks and through the Chelmniki, Tachvatat, and through one thing after the other. But you, as you read these psukim, you will be living through hope. As you're told, Pasuk Dal, Rubanu Charvos Olam Shamamot Rishonim Yokomemu, you will rebuild the ancient ruins and the desolate places will be once again reestablished. And this, I think about this Pasuk and I think about Yerushalayim and I think about how we're going to come back and rebuild and rediscover. But I also think about places in Eretz Yisrael that we're going to come back and rebuild. Maybe the Bate Knesiot of Gush Katif, places which we hope to one day come back, V'chidshu Are Chorev, and reinvigorate the destroyed cities, Shomamot Dor Vador, that have been desolate for so long. And Psukim Hei to Zion focus on our relationship with non-Jews at the time of the Geula. And we're going to try and understand what they mean, both in terms of the translation, but also philosophically where we stand with our relationship with non-Jews in future times. Pasuk Hei says, Va'amdu zarim v'ra'ut sonchem. Other people will come and they will shepherd your sheep. Ubenei nechar ikarechem. And your farmers will be other people from other nations. V'kormechem, and the people who take care of your vineyards. And sometimes people misunderstand this to mean that we will have lots of servants in the world to come, but that's not what it means. Let's try and understand. There's a story of a woman who went to ask a shaila to a rabbi. She said, they were very poor, they had no money, and she said, can I use my tzedakah money to hire a babysitter to take care of my children so that I can make dinner in time for my kids? I'm so strapped for time. I get back from work. My kids come in. Can I use my tzedakah money to hire a babysitter? And the rav says, no. He said, you can use your tzedakah money to hire someone to peel your potatoes so that you can play with your kids. Really, the whole purpose of getting somebody to help you do the work, like plowing your fields or taking care of your vineyards, is so that you can focus on something which is more important or essential for the world. It's meant to free up our time to serve our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Hashem promises us that at the end of the days, we will get the assistance we need so that we can focus all of our energy on the places we can truly contribute in our relationship with Hashem. And that's why Pasuk Vav tells us, V'atem kohanei Hashem tikareu, you will be called the Kohanim to Hashem. Meshartei Elokeinu, those who serve Hashem, Ya'amer Lachem, is what you'll be called. Chel goyim tochelu, you will eat the gifts brought from the other nations. And you will enjoy their riches. Once again, this is not so much a reward as it is a responsibility. Just as the Kohen was instructed to provide spiritual connection for the whole of Am Yisrael, and therefore he received the sustenance he needed to do so, in future times, Am Yisrael will be a giant nation of Kohanim for the people of the world. And we will be there as a responsibility, and we will get what we need in order to do that. In Shmos Perek Yotes, it talks about this dynamic where Hashem says, if you listen to my words, and you shmartem brisi, and you keep my covenant, v'hayisem li segula, and you will be for me a precious nation, mikol ha'amim, from all the other nations. And the next pasuk says, v'atem tiuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh, and you will be a nation of kohanim and a holy nation. The commentator Haksava HaKabbalah explains that some people think V'hayisem li segula is part of the promise. If you keep my covenant, then number one, you will be a segula, you'll be a precious nation to me, and you'll be a mamleches kohanim and a goy kadosh. But he says that's not true. The V'hayisem li segula is part of the condition. If you learn how to be precious to me, if you learn to take me seriously and take our relationship seriously, then and only then can you be a mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. So too here, this idea of us being the kohanim in Hashem's world is not a reward, it's a responsibility. And when we do that, then the other nations will participate with us in giving us what we need to fulfill those responsibilities. Pasuk Zion is rather ambiguous. I'm going to read it like the Radak reads it. It says as follows, Tachat Bashtachem, in place of your busha, your disgrace, which you have been suffering through all of these years. And remember, this parak is meant to be read in the exile, while you're suffering from that busha. Hashem says, in the times that you are disgraced for being a Jew, remember that one day, in place of that disgrace, Mishne, you will receive double. And Uchlima Yeronu Chalkam, and instead of this disgrace, they will rejoice in your lot. The Malbim says the people who disgrace you. They disgrace you now, but they will rejoice. They will celebrate you in the future times. Lachen, therefore, ba'artzam mishne yirashu. In your land, you will also inherit double. Simchas Olam Tielahem, and you will have eternal happiness. The Malbim speaks about how in Bereshis, when Hashem promises the land to Avraham Avinu, he talks about the famous seven nations that we will take over, and then he adds three more. He says there are three other nations. They're called the Keni, the Knizi, and the Kadmoni. And we don't hear about us conquering the Keni, the Knizi, and the Kadmoni, not in the book of Yehoshua, and not any time afterwards. It's only the seven nations that we deal with. And the Vilna Gaon and others explain that the seven nations and the three nations is parallel to the concept of seven and the concept of three, which come together to form 10, which are the spheros, the entirety of spiritual reality. And perhaps here, when we're told in Yeshayahu that you will get double Mishneh, you're going to get more of the land than that was spoken about before, says the Malbim, perhaps that's a reference to these three nations, the Keni, the Knizi, and the Kadmoni. We also have an idea that the Bechor, the eldest, receives double, perhaps because they're the ones who take more responsibility, or the parents make all the mistakes with the Bechor. So here it makes sense that if we, Am Yisrael, are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bechor, then what we're being promised here is double. Double bracha in place of the suffering which we've experienced throughout Jewish history. And thus we're promised in Pasuk Tes, V'noda b'goyim zar'am, their children, the Jews of the exile, their children will be known amongst the nations. V'tze'etza ehem b'tocha amim, and their offspring from amongst the other people. And the Malbim says, tze'etza ehem means not just the important children, but every single one of their descendants. Kol ro'ehem, anyone who sees a Jew, yakirum, will recognize them. And what will they recognize about them? Not their hat, not their clothing, not the racial stereotypes that people have against Jews, but rather ki hem zera beirach, that they are a seed who is blessed by Hashem. Finally, we promise that we're going to have a shem tov, we're going to have a good association, that people will see Jews and they'll feel good about it. And so the last two psukim of this perek actually form the beginning of the final of the Shiva Denachimta, the seven haftaras of comfort. And thus, we're promised the most comfort and the most uplifting peace of all of the nechama, all of the comfort is going to be brought here. Pasuk Yod tells us, Sos asis b'Hashem. The Metzudas David says that it's Bnei Yisrael speaking, who are saying, I will rejoice in Hashem. And the Radak says it's not Am Yisrael, it's Yerushalayim. And it's both, is it not? That together we will rejoice in Hashem. Tagel nafshi be'elokai. My whole self will exult in my God. Ki he'll be shiny big day yesha, because Hashem has clothed me in clothing of salvation. Remember, two prakim ago in Perek Nun Tes, we spoke about how Hashem is clothed in salvation and in righteousness. Here Hashem is clothing us in salvation, me'il tzedakah, and in tzedakah. Kechatan yechahen pe'er ukekala ted'e kaleha. Like a chasan and a kala who are dressed in beautiful garments and decked out in finery, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us, once again, the splendor. And the clothing that we wear as Jews will be a sign of respect, a sign of dignity. Because ultimately, the dror, the freedom that we're going for, is that we belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and people will see us, and see us as Hashem's people. And if we are compared to plants that are Zera Beirach, blessed seed. So that seed needs to sprout. And that's Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki ka'eret totzit simcha. Because just as the earth brings forth shoots and plants, ukegana zro'eha titzmach, and a garden which allows all of its produce to grow, kein Hashem Elokim yatzmiach tzedaka utehila neged kol hagoyim. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow it to grow tzedaka, righteousness, and tehila, and splendor, in face of all the other nations. The Radak explains that this image of us growing, well, we're very familiar with the image of us growing, remember, because that's what all of Mashiach is about. Tzemach David, Geza Yishai. We've had it throughout the Sefer of Yeshayahu, how the time of salvation is represented by growth. But specifically here, the Radak points out that the idea of growing a plant is that it first has to be destroyed in order to go through a rebirth. It goes under the ground and it rots. And that's really what exile is. And from that rotten seed, goodness can grow. Secondly, he explains how if you imagine a garden that's growing beautifully, all the plants don't grow on the same day. They come in various different stages, one moment after the other. And so too, says the Radak, salvation will come not in a flourishing moment, but in many moments, as the garden of Hashem, the Gan Eden, the garden of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will become more and more beautiful, stage by stage, as we celebrate together at the end of times. Thank you for learning with me today. Lerefua shalema yonina sima bas Daphna Hinda, Jennifer hayakara shelano, ula pitzuei tzahal, achelu hayakarim, betoch sha'ar chole Yisrael, Nina v'chaim Shenka.